Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Locals are shot, fired at with guns, thrown off of bridges, charged with sex crimes, and OMG, a report finds that people are on the internet during the day.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, yourselves, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, April 22nd, 2011. Tualatin police say two men punched a teenager in the face and threw him into the Tualatin River last night. The 17-year-old victim was able to climb out of the river, and a passerby called police at about 7:15 p.m., The teen told officers that the assault happened near the boat dock at the Tualatin Community Park. He said he didn't know the two men responsible. Police say the two drunk men, David Livingston, 28, and Ligabi Little Whirlwind, 24. I'd like to repeat that again. Ligabi Little Whirlwind were walking in the area. The officers arrested the man and took them to the Tualatin Police Department. That's where they say Little Whirlwind headbutted an officer, sending him to the hospital with minor injuries to his head. Little Whirlwind faces assault in the third degree and assaulting a public safety officer charges, while Livingston is charged with assault in the third degree.
I was going to go the less predictable David Livingston, I presume, route. Little Whirlwind is just sitting there. I mean, it's like, what do I have to do to make that funny? Nothing.
I think, though, if you're a cop and you get headbutted by a guy named Little Whirlwind, That's not good. That's a bad day. That's embarrassing.
No. Embarrassing is if you were headbutted by a tiny little precious daisy flower.
Oh.
Little whirlwind. I mean, you know, the Tasmanian devil is a little whirlwind, Dawn.
All right. You're
not to be slighted.
Yeah,
why do you hate the red man? Why?
You don't know he's a red man. His parents could have been hippies.
Well, he's a red man inside, perhaps. Here.
There?
Here.
Right there?
Here on this logo on this T-shirt. That's where he's a red man. Hey, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Are you drinking coconut milk?
No, I'm drinking a big can of iced tea.
Okay.
Why would you think that was coconut milk?
Because it looks very similar to a coconut milk that is sold in a can by Trader Joe's.
Oh.
The design and color scheme is almost identical. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, April 22nd, 2011.
I highly recommend the Sweet Leaf brand iced tea. It's actually quite tasty. I haven't been having good luck with the prepackaged iced tea lately, but this one, not bad.
So anyway, we're doing the show here at Cascadia.fm. Thanks for joining us. If you want to get it later on today, you can do that via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. By the way, just a bit of a technical note. The folks who emailed us yesterday and that there was some sort of an issue with the Legion of News Encore, the downloadable MP3, that is at legionofnews.com and I believe is now at Cascadia.fm. But we will double check on that. There was an issue with the posting of yesterday's show on the Cascadia.fm site, but I think that has been remedied. So still available on iTunes, and if you go to Cascadia.fm to download the show and for whatever reason it is not there, you can usually check legionofnews.com for backup. You can also take it with you on your mobile device to this mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Portland police said one person was hurt after shots were fired near a TriMet bus in the area of North Fremont Street and North Williams Avenue Thursday afternoon. Investigators said Kenneth W. Riley, 29, was shot after an exchange of gunfire between a vehicle and a group of people on the sidewalk, but it's unclear whether Riley was the intended target. He was treated for non-life-threatening wounds. Police said Riley was standing on the street corner with known gang members. A Line 24 bus was hit and a window shattered. The bus was parked during the investigation and police closed streets in the area. Police said several people were aboard the bus, including children, but no one was hurt. Passenger Chris Parks, giving you your man in the street view, said, "We pulled up to Fremont, heard a couple gunshots. Suddenly one went through. I was sitting in the front of the bus and heard pop, pop, and then all of a sudden whoosh, which was the third or fourth bullet going through the windshield." So to repeat, he heard pop, pop, and then whoosh.
Doing a lot of sort of repeat today.
I want to make sure that the people are getting the news.
So it was pop, pop, whoosh, not pop, whoosh, pop.
No, pop, pop, whoosh.
Okay. Or whoosh, pop, pop.
Another neighbor said, not in the last 4 or 5 years we had a shooting like this. Another neighbor agrees and says, drug dealing out on the street, on the corners, you could see them all the time. It was blatant. But it's got a lot better since then.
And so this is exactly where did this happen?
This would be North Williams and North Fremont.
You know, it's kind of sad if you're living in a neighborhood and you can give some sort of an approximation of when the last time you had a shooting like this. Not just a shooting like this. I would say it was no more than 2 years ago. Shootings of a different nature, though, happen much more often.
Yeah, you know, the drug dealing and the shooting and stuff, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Relatively speaking, they're trending upward. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today we have a Taser Watch coming up. Also, Mr. Big Jim Willig will be in the studio with another installment of Humor Me, Comedy 101. Today talking about the life and work of Roseanne Barr. That is coming up at rickemersonshow.com about an hour from now.
I also, there's some more news behind you, if you would
grab
that for me when you get the touch.
Is it creeping up on me?
It is.
Is it wielding a weapon of some kind?
It has sharp, pointy teeth.
Okay.
Oregon's unemployment phone lines are completely jammed. Newly announced benefits have drawn tens of thousands of callers. The state employment office says it's sorry, but it just can't handle all the call volume at once. The state notified 40,000 people who may be eligible for newly approved extension of unemployment benefits. And those people are calling in their claims, it says, in droves. Though employees are working hour after hour to process the calls, people are still frustrated because the phone lines seem to be perpetually busy.
I don't understand. Okay. Look, I know that everybody likes to rail on the government and the state for doing things badly. I don't understand exactly what the problem is. They send you the thing saying you can do the deal. You go online, bam, 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 done.
Yeah, except that people aren't going online. They're trying to call.
Well, that's their
problem.
There ought to be just a message saying, like, use your computer and we know you've got one. Well, and if you don't, like, we know your cousin Hector does. So, like, just, you know, go there. Seriously. I mean, the greeting ought to be like, hey, you know, everybody's out of work, and that includes a lot of phone operators. So it's going to be like 9 hours if you want to file online. Or you could go to the library where the goddamn computers are free. And also, you know, you could learn to read. Jesus. Seriously, if you're sitting on the phone to do something that you could do online, don't you believe that maybe somebody needs to force you into at least the late 20th century, if not the 21st century?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I agree with you completely.
Everybody, just take a step back and just breathe and then exhale and then, I don't know, just, you know.
The Florida preacher, whose Quran burning resulted in deadly protests in Afghanistan, is being denied a permit to protest outside the country's largest mosque.
It seems like we've developed an exciting new weapon in the war on terror here, though, because if we just burn one Quran here and then parts of Afghanistan just blow themselves up, I think we understand what needs to be done. If you could get people burning Korans 24 hours a day, it seems like we could have most of the Middle East just gone by this time next week.
The whole country would just be cleared out.
Well, which is obviously our goal anyway. So, I mean, really, it seems like that is a problem that solves itself.
Dearborn, Michigan has the highest per capita Muslim population of any mid-sized city. Who knew? And Mayor John O'Reilly says Terry Jones is still able to speak his mind in other ways.
What is this called?
I want to make it clear right off the bat. He's always been welcome to come and give voice to his concerns and speak out in Dearborn. The issue has always been location.
Mayor John O'Reilly says that has nothing to do with his views, only logistics.
The site he selected is all private property. And the only public property is right-of-way for a main road. So he's picked a site, while it's public, that doesn't support a large group.
Well, all right, then. So there you go.
A St. Helens couple has been arrested on more than 200 counts of rape, sodomy, and sex abuse.
200?
Yes. I'd like to point out this is yet another reason, by the way, why one of many reasons why I'm glad I no longer work at the community newspaper in St. Helens.
200?
Yes.
Okay.
Scappoose police arrested Cindy Seastone and Jody Haney last Friday. Because of the magnitude of this case, police said Seastone is being held on nearly $1.5 million bail and Haney for nearly $500.
That's sort of hilarious. It's kind of funny to me when they give people a bail so high that clearly there's no one who can pay it, you know? Like when they say, you know, you're going to be held on a bail of $5 skillion, which is just, that's great because it's just sort of there to taunt you. You know, like if you had 10% of that, if you had 50,000, or whatever. I don't know what 5% of a skillion is because it's fake. But
and if you're living in St. Helens, the odds are very small.
Have you seen these people? Have you taken a good long look at them? Doesn't matter where they're living. They don't have 1% of that. That's not a St. Helens thing. That's a them thing.
They are, though, the kind of people that you look at and go, you live in St. Helens, don't you?
Scott Daly's from St. Helens, so I try not to make those judgments.
Well, I don't think he's from St. Helens. I think he bought a house in St. Helens because it was affordable, didn't he, at one time? And he doesn't live there anymore.
I don't know. I wasn't there when he was born, so.
Scappoose police say the abuse happened between 2007 and 2009 at the couple's apartment. They say the victims were two teenage boys who lived in the neighborhood. Cops say the boys were manipulated into doing the sex crimes, whatever that means. And it happened frequently over a two-year period. One of the victim's moms eventually tipped off police as to what was going on.
Wait, so I'm unclear about this. Who is charged with the 200 counts of sex crimes?
Well, one woman faces nearly 200 counts of rape and more than 100 counts of sodomy.
And then what is the role the teenagers played in this?
I'm assuming they were the victims? It's really hard when you read something that says they were manipulated into doing the sex crimes.
I'm just wondering. Well, that's my thing. Is it 200 counts of sex crimes on these two teenagers?
Well, one is 200 counts of rape and more than 100 counts of sodomy. The other is charged with 90 counts of rape, 90 counts of sodomy, and 90 counts of sex.
Right, but were those directed at the two teenagers?
I'm assuming so, yes. It says the victims were two teenage boys.
All right.
I also really dislike the sentence that says one of the victim's moms eventually tipped police off as to what was going on. That implies that she knew for some time before she actually said anything.
And also, everything happens eventually. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter how early or late. Everything happens eventually. That's a non-term. By the way, someone has weighed in and said that the rapey woman, allegedly, from St. Helens is, quote, not what you would call a classic beauty. Well, it's all relative, sir.
No.
Perhaps if you're in Sweet Home, you might view it differently.
Yeah,
I don't understand the story, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't either.
Okay, but...
What?
But I'm the pundit. You're the play-by-play.
Well, I'm just reading the story. I'm sharing the story as reported by a reputable news organization.
Clearly the reputable, by dint of the fact that we don't understand the story.
A neighbor whose name is Razor Rushing said that apparently they seem really nice, but to have that going on for a small town, it's kind of out of the question on what usually goes on around here. And I would have to say, having spent some time writing for and editing a newspaper there, no, sir, it is not out of the question for what goes on around there.
If only we knew what it was or to whom it happened.
Well, we do know the rapiness.
Of some kind to somebody.
Unattractive women
somewhere.
Doing things with dirtbag teenage boys.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
Crossword puzzles and recipes are among the online distractions from office work turned up in an investigation into the internet use at an Oregon County office. The Klamath Falls Herald and News reports that 10 employees at the Klamath County Assessor's Office spent more than 6 hours a day combined surfing the internet during a week-long stretch last December. The web browsing wasted the amount of time equivalent to 3/4 of a full-time employee. Klamath County Commissioner Cheryl Hukill said she was, quote, astounded by the results of the internal investigation.
Who was astounded? What was her position?
She's the county commissioner, Klamath County Commissioner. She was astounded to find that 10 employees in the Klamath County's assessor's office spent over 6 hours a day combined surfing the internet over a week-long stretch.
I'm just amazed that you're able to do that. It just seems like internet filtering and blocking software and what, like, you can't get this show in half the places in town, or you can get the Rick Emerson show in even fewer places because it's flagged as like gruesome content everywhere you go. So it seems like somebody in the IT department is either falling down on the job or just has an affinity for words with friends.
Yeah, said one worker spent 90 minutes searching for answers to a crossword puzzle.
I think that says more about the employees and their ability to accurately gather information than it does about the internet. Hey. If you have to spend 90 minutes on the internet looking for the answer to anything, I don't care what it is, you really ought to be working somewhere else.
Also, and it may just be me, maybe there just isn't enough work for all 10 employees at the assessor's office. It sounds like these people aren't being kept particularly busy.
I would say that probably the amount of work is not the issue. I would opine that it's perhaps not a very scintillating job.
The Justice Department will be investigating whether there have been cases of price gouging at the gas pumps. Commentator and former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer doesn't think it will do much good.
What is the name of this crisis?
Prices?
Let's not go to the cheap political answer. Put out a press release, create a task force. That's not going to do it. This is politics.
You know, I guess I don't understand what the term price gouging means.
I assume that means that that they are charging more than is actually necessary for them to make a decent profit.
Well, everybody charges more than is necessary to make a decent profit.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I just don't understand. That is a term that, I mean, I guess we all kind of sense what it means, but I don't think anybody could actually tell you what it means. I think price gouging is a term that people hear and they go, yeah, that's wrong. And then you say, well, what is it? And they go, well, it's when you do that thing. I mean, theaters aren't price gouging when they charge $9 for a Coke.
No, but I think price gouging is usually a term that comes into play when you're talking about commodities that people need basically to exist, to get through their day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. When it's something that people view as a necessity.
Yeah, all exactly. Right. Spitzer says other factors are responsible for the high cost of crude.
The oil markets right now are driven by OPEC. They're being driven by Chinese demand. They're being driven by macroeconomic factors. And we're paying the price for political failure here not to get an energy policy.
I like the fact that you can just consort with whores day and night and then get a job paying probably more than your last job did, just weighing in on things.
Yeah.
I really, and I mean that sincerely, that really is what makes this a great country.
That's America for you.
It is.
A 21-year-old man was arrested and charged with battery at AJ's Seafood and Oyster Bar in Destin, Florida. Two men allegedly became belligerent when a woman and her friends would not talk to them around 2:20 a.m., The 21-year-old became so angry, he hit the woman in the face. The woman had minor bruising and swelling on her chin. The man was charged with first-degree misdemeanor for battery. Don't think that's the way to get a date. Maybe that's just
me. Maybe in St. Helens, Dawn. you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, you get your science on the march. Also, entertainment news. Next hour, about 1 hour from now, at RickEmersonShow.com. The Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy will be there for your amusement and your information gathering. You'll come out at the other side smarter than you were when you went in, which is really saying something.
You promise?
No. No, this may not actually happen. But it really is something when you think about it, Dawn, that just for for the low, low cost of 32 cents a day, which is really, it's the opposite of price gouging.
In fact, we're getting screwed here, really.
What is the opposite of a gouge? A gouge would be sort of like
an extraction.
No,
gouge is when you jab something into something, isn't it?
No, no, it wouldn't be an extraction. Extraction would be sort of, that would be like a parallel definition. That would be a lateral definition. Well, it's a thing that's like the thing, but but it is not like the other thing. It's exactly that. 32 cents a day is what you pay for the Rick Emerson radio program, and you can hear that at rickemersonshow.com, where today we are joined by new listener Travis. Travis, a new subscriber and a new annual subscriber as well. Ooh. So Travis of Portland, a new annual subscription, which means that instead of paying 32 cents a day, he's actually $6.92, I think, a month. He's actually paying $6.66 a month. So yeah, $6.99 to $6.66. So we welcome new subscriber Travis at rickemersonshow.com. That is about an hour from now. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
So yeah, so gouging is actually, I guess the idea is that it's In the term that we're using it, it's to cheat, to defraud, to bamboozle.
Except nobody's being cheated or defrauded.
I agree. But I think that that's what the actual use of the term is.
Apparently, the legal term means raising the price of goods or commodities beyond a situation that is considered reasonable during time of civil emergency. That is the legal definition. So it's not true in any. It's not true literally or figuratively.
All right. Smartphones running Google's Android software also collect location data the same way as the iPhone, the Wall Street Journal reports. So if you're like all freaked out about your iPhone and its secret chip that takes secret data and hides it away, no. Google allegedly collects data every few seconds and transmits it back to the company at least several times an hour, according to the Wall Street Journal. That transmission includes any nearby Wi-Fi networks as well as a unique phone identifier that can tie a location to an individual user. The revelation comes after much outrage this week over the discovery that iPhones store unencrypted databases containing location information, sometimes for several months. In some ways, Google's tracking is more pervasive since Apple has said the data are transmitted to the company about once every 12 hours and aren't associated with a unique identifier. But the information does not seem to be stored as long in Android devices as in Apple's iPhone. The revelations show how both companies are trying to build massive databases capable of pinpointing people's locations via their cell phones as part of an effort to capture the $2.9 billion market for location-based services.
Here's the other thing. Did you know the phone company keeps a record of every phone call you make? If
oh
you
God.
Call somebody, the phone company knows it. They're aware of it. There's a list somewhere at the phone company of numbers you have dialed.
Do you know when you use your debit card, the bank keeps track of where you're spending your money?
The devil, you say.
Senator Al Franken has fired off a letter to Apple's Steve Jobs asking why the iPhone keeps such an extensive database of location data.
Is it a letter that has to be read in a whiny, infantile voice that sounds like he's half asleep? Have you ever noticed how much Al Franken sounds like Charles Grodin? They both have that same, like they've just been hit with a morphine drip. I just don't understand why it has. There's blood in the Bronco and there's blood on the socks.
I really like Al Franken a lot, but I certainly wouldn't want to be, like, trapped with him on a long car
ride.
Seems
like a horribly unpleasant person.
Probably, yes. Although 57% of adults believe Obama was born in the United States and only 25% say he was born elsewhere, there are striking disparities along party lines and regions of the country, according to the New York Times. Among Republicans, a poll that the Times did shows 45% believe he was born abroad, while only 33% he was born in the United States. Of course, that's 33% of Republicans who are willing to take part in a New York Times poll. So, more than a dozen state legislatures have discussed or are discussing birther bills that usually seek to force presidential candidates to prove their birthplace, although at least five states have been reluctant to actually turn the bills into law. Oklahoma could soon become the first state with a vote expected next week. Politico has a primer that you can go see right now that seeks to explain why this has become a non-issue that won't die. Elsewhere, the New York Times CBS poll shows that Americans are more pessimistic about the economy and the general direction of the country than at any time since President Obama's first 2 months in office. The number of Americans who say the economy is getting worse soared 13 percentage points in 1 month. It's a particularly worrying sign for Obama. 57% of Americans disapprove of how he's handling the economy. Republicans in Congress don't get much better grades from people who responded to the poll, and Americans are highly skeptical of the claim that cutting the deficit could improve the economy.
It's the best year ever. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Entertainment news later on. Don't forget, you can get this program via iTunes later on. And we have confirmed from Cascadia, thank you, that yesterday's program is up and posted at Cascadia.fm. Also at legionofnews.com as a direct MP3 download. There's Don Taylor.
And you need to go listen to it, because otherwise you don't know what happened yesterday.
Really, because your life is incomplete. You'll walk through the rest of your existence in a cloud of ignorance as regards April 21st. And you don't want that.
No. It's like this, just this big blank space.
The hazy, amorphous area where other people have knowledge.
Indiana co-workers Todd Reardon and Darren Fox have picked up their $221 million Powerball lottery jackbox. Their jackbox.
Is that what the kids call it now?
Well, that's something entirely different they're going
to
do with their money.
Jackbox.
Fox says they had been playing the lottery for 3 years.
This is lottery one.
In the morning to the computer before I went to work, so I figured if I always checked in the mornings, because if I hit, I wasn't going to work.
Okay.
He wasn't going to work because, you know, he won the lottery. I hate him. As wildfires that have burnt through more than 1.5 million acres across Texas continue, Governor Rick Perry has asked residents to pray for an end to the pervasive drought that has hit the state. All of Texas is now in at least a moderate drought, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. The dry weather is helping the wildfires spread, and now the state's governor has asked Texans of all faiths and traditions to appeal to a higher power for help. In an official proclamation, Perry declared that the 3 days from Friday to Sunday have been officially designated as days of prayer for rain in the state of Texas. Throughout our history, Texans have been strengthened, assured, and lifted up through prayers, notes the proclamation. It seems right and fitting that the people of Texas should join together in prayer to humbly seek an end to this devastating drought and these dangerous wildfires.
Well, let's have no illusions about that. That really does seem fitting that the people of Texas would do that. I mean, that is a thing on, we can all agree on that.
You can dance around a pole and make little dolls and put pins in them. And I'm sorry.
Dolls of what?
I don't know.
Okay. I should let you sort that out yourself.
I'm grumpy today. Everything is making me grumpy.
You're hiding it really well.
Am I?
No.
No. I'm glad to be here, though. It's nice to see you.
Uh-huh. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. The Rick Emerson Show next hour with Mr. Big Jim Willig. He will be talking about the life, career, and work of Ms. Roseanne Barr. We'll also have a taser watch and more on the cavalcade of whimsy that is the Rick Emerson radio program. One of the most glorious creations that man can point to as an example of his evolutionary prowess. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do science.
Here's your Science on the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. Find them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That's 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. That means you've got electrical or wiring issues at your home or business, or perhaps your business home or your home business. They can help you with all of that, whether it's the installation, whether it's the upgrading, and just making sure you're going to pass the next inspection. They can make sure it's done right, done cheaply, and done correctly the first time. So you are not going to have multiple visits to your home to undo the damage done by somebody else's alleged repairs. So you're going to make sure that it's done properly out of the gate. You contact them at 503-252-1609 or online at squireselectric.com. Please do tell them you heard it here. That is squireselectric.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Pope Benedict XVI will be in satellite contact with two Italian astronauts aboard the International Space Station in what would be the first papal call to space. The Vatican newspaper, the Osservatore Romano, may not be how it's actually pronounced, reported Friday that the hookup will happen on May 4th after the shuttle Endeavour docks with the station. Liftoff is set for next Friday. Two Italian astronauts will be meeting up on the space station. Roberto Vittori will be aboard the shuttle, and Paolo Nespoli in the space station. Vittori will be carrying a silver medal donated by the Pope. Others on the space station are Russian and American. Botox can make it more difficult to understand what others are feeling, a new study suggests. Botox injections have been widely used for 20 years to smooth wrinkles, but it hinders some facial movements that can make it more difficult to express emotion and read what others are trying to say through their expressions. USA Today reports that that's because part of the way people read emotions is by mimicking facial expressions. So if muscular signals from the face to the brain are dampened, you're less able to read emotions.
So this is just because you can't when somebody arches their eyebrows, it doesn't necessarily register on their face the same way, because their eyebrows move, but nothing else does. Everything else stays stationary.
Yes.
Okay.
And you smile different, and you. I mean, there are a lot. There are thousands of very small micro expressions that people do, and if you inject botulism into parts of your face to freeze your muscles, you're not doing those little micro expressions.
Is this why people can't tell that Michelle Bachmann is crazy and making things up?
Maybe.
I mean, she clearly had Botox. If you watch her, her face is, I mean, it's just one static screen cap.
But she has just nutty, crazy eyes. So it seems like it ought. And plus, everything she says is crazy.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be that hard to figure out. The sexually transmitted disease gonorrhea is increasingly developing resistance to all of the antibiotics we have to treat it in the United States, researchers warn. In 2009, nearly a quarter of strains tested in a nationwide surveillance project of gonorrhea were resistant to penicillin, tetracycline, fluoroquinolones, or a combination of those antibiotics that are typically used to treat the STD. And early data from 2010 indicate resistance to another type of antibiotic, cephalosporin, is emerging. That's concerning because cephalosporins are the only class of antibiotic left that doctors recommend to treat gonorrhea.
Don't we have this story every couple of years, though, where there's some antibiotic for some disease and we're on the last one?
I think so.
I mean, we hear that about... I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying about every 18 months, they warn us that we're on the last thing that can treat some, dread disease of some kind or other, which is sort of like the story that we get every couple of years that we're approaching the number of people on Earth, that will exceed our ability to feed them. And then it never really seems to happen.
Well, now it's gonorrhea.
Okay.
So, and they're calling it a superbug strain of gonorrhea, and that resistance to antibiotics, difficult to kill, and so... Wear a condom.
Okay.
An international research team is in the land of snow and ice in search of soot. Though the Arctic is often pictured as a vast white wasteland, scientists believe a thin layer of soot is causing it to absorb more heat. They want to find out if that's the main reason for the recent rapid warming of the Arctic, which could have a long-term impact on the world's climate. Soot, or black carbon, is produced by auto and truck engines, aircraft emissions, burning forests, and the use of wood or coal-burning stoves. Patricia Quinn of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said, "The Arctic serves as the air conditioner of the planet." Heat from other parts of the Earth moved to the Arctic in a circulating air and ocean water, and some of that warmth can radiate into space. At the same time, some of the incoming heat from the sun that tends to be absorbed in other locations is reflected by the ice and snow, allowing the polar regions to serve as cooling agents for the planet. But that's changing. In recent years, the Arctic has been warming more rapidly than other regions, and Quinn pointed out, the warming of the Arctic has implications not just for polar bears, but for our entire planet.
Does that mean, if the Arctic is the air conditioner of the planet, does that mean there's is there some sort of a radiator of the planet?
That's probably
some sort of a hot water bottle?
That would be the equator.
A heating pad?
Yes. The equator.
Are you just guessing at that?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's
that wouldn't be the equator, that would just be the sun.
But the equator is very hot, and the ocean is probably warmer there.
Okay.
Science! Experts...
I'm just going to put this whole show in quotes from now on.
Experts examining results... results. Experts examining results from the Kepler telescope have identified more than 1,200 planets in orbit around distant stars, 54 of which are a similar size to Earth and inhabitable zones from the sun. The research follows several recent discoveries which point to the possibility of life on other planets. Last year, NASA scientists claimed they had found vital clues which appeared to indicate that primitive aliens could be living on Titan, one of Saturn's biggest moons. Data from NASA's Cassini probe revealed the complex chemistry on the surface of Titan, which experts say is the only moon around the planet to have a dense atmosphere. Experts suggest the life forms may have been breathing in the planet's atmosphere and also feeding on the surface's fuel. A research paper in the journal Icarus claimed that hydrogen gas flowing throughout the planet's atmosphere disappeared at the surface. This suggested that alien forms could, in fact, breathe.
Now, I don't listen to anything that's in the journal Icarus. I find them to be a little too hubristic for my taste.
Well, then you might be interested to know that the Journal of Geophysical Research, which I know you respect...
Yes.
They had a paper themselves that concluded there was a lack of the chemical on the surface. Scientists were then led to believe it had been possibly consumed by life on that planet.
By the way, somebody just noted in all caps, it's the sun. Don't be stupid. All right, so there you go. Apparently, the Arctic is the air conditioner of the planet.
The sun is the heater?
The warming area of the planet is, in fact, yes, the heater is, in fact, the sun. So there you go.
All right. That's all the science.
That's all the science.
Science.
That's there's no more to be had. We've given you every bit of science information we can possibly locate.
Science.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show next hour. At about an hour from now, give or take, you'll be hearing the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy featuring a Taser Watch. Also, Mr. Big Jim Willigan. Again, I want to welcome listener Travis, who has signed up for an annual subscription. And I said $6.92, but it's actually $6.99. That is the monthly cost. He has signed up for an annual, which drops that to $6.66, or like 29.5 cents a day, or I don't know, some such nonsense. It's like less than you probably can find in your sofa cushions at this point. I mean, to be honest, really. I mean, if we're just going to speak plainly and simply about this. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
A high school student who faked her pregnancy for 6 months as a social experiment stunned a student assembly this week by taking off her belly bundle. Only a handful of people knew that 17-year-old Gabby Rodriguez wasn't really pregnant.
Gabby Rodriguez.
Uh-huh. Including her mother, boyfriend, and the principal, according to the Yakima Herald Republic. They helped keep the secret from one of her siblings and her boyfriend's family and students and teachers, all part of a senior project on stereotyping. Before the revelation, she asked several students and teachers to read quotes people said about her during the course of her experiment. Her best friend said, her attitude is changing and it might be because of the baby, or she was always this annoying and I never realized it. I grew quiet in the gym as more and more quotes were read aloud. Then Rodriguez dropped her bomb. I'm fighting against those stereotypes and rumors because the reality is I'm not pregnant. She'd been nervous about how the crowd might react. In fact, she'd been lying to them since October. The principal said, in essence, she gave up her senior year. She sacrificed her senior year to find out what it would be like to be a potential teen mom.
By the way, do we know if there's video of this? Did they film this?
I hope so.
I don't know. Having spent some time in Yakima, let me just say, first of all, the idea that the fact that she even had the mental wherewithal to conceive of such a thing and then the fortitude to carry it out is more than a little impressive, because it's not like Yakima's really, not like that's just a group of menses living in that city.
And she got support from her mother and her boyfriend to go ahead and do it, and they kept the secret. She worked with two mentors from the Yakima Valley Memorial Hospital's childbirth education program to help with the project, and she started wearing a homemade basketball-sized prosthetic belly to school after spring break.
Well, of course she got support from her parents and her family on this. She's probably the only girl in Yakima who isn't actually pregnant by the end of her senior year.
And she has a grade point average of 3.8, and she came up with the idea during her sophomore year's advanced placement biology class. And, she plans to attend Columbia Basin College to study social work or sociology.
Columbia Basin College.
In the fall.
All right.
She goes to, by the way, Toppenish High School. I don't know what that means, but Toppenish.
What do you mean?
That's the name of the high school.
What do you mean you don't know what it means?
Is that someone's name?
It's a city.
Really?
Yeah.
Toppenish,
Washington. Yeah.
Is it named after, like, Indians or after a guy?
Everything is either Indians or Lewis and Clark. So I assume that it's, you know, one of the two. I'm guessing probably Indian. No. I mean, 60-40, it's Indian. Yeah.
A study of South Australia's sewage shows that they binge on ecstasy and speed on the weekends. Scientists tested sewage in Adelaide, Australia, and 10 regional centers for the stimulants, ecstasy, and speed, and cocaine. They compared the results to similar studies from Europe. Methamphetamine was the drug of choice in the city, while country people preferred ecstasy. Cocaine was last on the list everywhere.
When you say country people, you're just talking about the people in the...
I guess not in the big city.
Just some country people. So this is just like a bunch of rave-holding Aborigines, or...
Yes, exactly.
Okay. You bring backpack with Hello Kitty designs. We rave till break of dawn.
Study lead author, University of Adelaide pharmacology professor Rod Irvine, said the results generally confirmed what was known from surveys, police, customs, and emergency departments, but there were a few surprises. The surprising thing, he said, was that our data tended to show there is as much, if not more, ecstasy used in regional centers than in the city. It's just as popular out in the country as it is here.
Well, of course. What else are you going to do in the country? Just sit there and bale hay all weekend? I mean, there's a reason that people do drugs in small towns and out in the country, because there's nothing else to do. There aren't. I mean, really, how long can you spend standing outside and just breathing in the crisp mountain air and listening to crickets and going, well, this is the life? And eventually you realize there's just nothing there.
Plus, like, looking at kangaroos and wallabies is just way more fun if you're on ecstasy.
Because that's what everybody in Australia does. They spend their time looking at wallabies and putting things on Barbies.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
They do.
Okay.
Ross Vining, a professor, said the research is a logical extension of work to assess the longevity of pharmaceuticals such as the oral contraceptive pill. We flush the toilet and think that's the end of it, he said. But these things flow through the sewage system. There's a potential there for government trying to work out their programs on education, particularly in trying to warn the health system of what kind of drugs are out there, what might be coming into the emergency departments. There's also a lot of potential uses for having something that gives a measure of what drugs are currently being abused in the community. Well, speaking of the birther bill, they're not calling it that, and it doesn't mention President Obama, but another proposal surfaces in Louisiana requiring proof.
Is this our friend Bobby Jindal?
This is Senator A.G. Crow.
Ah, okay.
The proposal will require proof of birth. Senator A.G. Crow is a co-sponsor of the measure.
Is this a bill?
The name Obama is not listed anywhere in the legislation. That's not our concern. Our concern is just making it easy for people throughout this country and our state, certainly, to understand exactly what the qualifications are. Because if there was no confusion, this wouldn't be an issue.
This really is a brilliant maneuver, by the way, because there's really no logical or rational objection to this that you can raise. Because it doesn't say, I mean, leaving aside, like, whether anybody thinks it's, you know, whether anybody, you know, thinks it's right or wrong or whatever, it is sort of brilliantly put together because it doesn't mention Obama anywhere. And there really is, there's nothing you can say about this as a complaint or as an objection that really has any foundation or basis to it. Because they're basically just saying you have to show ID before we'll give you the job.
Oh, of being president.
They have to say, like, well, like, you're running for president. Like, it's like if you're going to buy liquor, you have to show you're 21. And they're saying, well, you're going to run for president. You got to show you were born here.
Okay.
And so people are, well, that's wrong. And they go, well, why? And they go, well, because you're jerks. So that is the genius of the Republicans. It's this sort of ideological jujitsu where they do things that anger people and infuriate people by the millions, and yet to which you can raise no logical or rational objection. That's one of their most marketable skills.
Well, I mean, I have to admit, I suppose logically it makes sense that...
Yes, it does, Don.
If you're going to run for president, you should show someone that, you know, you were born in the United States, but... Okay, all right.
There you go. You've just witnessed the genius of the Republican Party in action.
I just don't understand.
It is a thing that irritates people, but there's really no reason you can point to for it.
I think the thing that's irritating about it is it's an issue it's stupid. It's a stupid issue. And that's why it's idiotic. That's why it's annoying.
Let me understand this. It's stupid because it's idiotic.
It's just stupid.
Okay. I'm going to put these questions in a hopper and you can answer them again on Monday.
Crow doesn't say whether he believes the president is a citizen of the United States.
This is like on Beavis and Butthead when they were talking about how something sucked. And there was a teacher said, well, why does it suck? And Butthead says, because it's not cool.
I have no comment on that. That's not what this is about as far as I'm concerned. What this is about basically is protecting the Constitution of the United States of America.
You know what's weird is I think if you actually go to vote, this is the thing that I've wondered about. If you go to vote, I don't think you actually have to show your ID. If you go to vote at a polling place, which is less of an issue now because you're like mailing the thing in. If you go to vote and you actually have to go, you know, you go in and you pull the lever, you punch the thing. I don't believe they actually check your ID when you know, because they have to check you at the rolls so they can verify that you voted. I'm not actually sure they asked to see your driver's license there, which has always mystified me.
Chris,
you're furrowing your brow here.
Well, just the whole thing is just baffling to me. The entire issue of...
You think people should have to be licensed to have kids?
Yes.
So this seems less restrictive than that.
Well, no, I'm not saying that no one should check ever to see if somebody's running for president. It's just because this whole thing seems to be about the fact that these people have decided to say that Barack Obama isn't actually an American, which is crazy.
Right. I understand. I agree with you.
And so they're coming up with these things that actually kind of do make sense, but...
Right.
But because of the fundamental thing that is crazy.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Chris,
we all agree on this. This is what I was saying earlier, that that's why the Republicans consistently just level the Democrats in terms of strategy, because they're able to come up with things that, again, that irritate people. I think the Republican strategy just boils down to just drive Democrats crazy. Just drive them into some sort of nervous collapse with things like this. Because, again, obviously it comes from a bunch of nutcases who think that he was born in Indonesia or Jakarta or someplace. I mean, that's obviously where it comes from. It comes from a bunch of people who are pissed off by the fact that we have a black president, and they're just trying to find a lot of ways to make him seem invalid or to remove him as a political factor. And so one of those ways is to play on the fear that he's not like us because he was born somewhere else. I don't disagree with any of that, and that's obviously where this comes from, except you can't really prove any of that, and you can't tie it to this legislation in any way. There's really no rational disagreement with this that you can come up with.
So, Kuro says the issue won't go away.
Perhaps if we pass some legislation here in Louisiana and perhaps in other states, this issue will come to a forefront. It'll be addressed, and then it'll be behind us so that we can get on about the business of the country.
Apparently, by the way, there were also allegations that Andrew Jackson was not born in the United States.
So what he's saying then, to recap, is that this issue won't go away, this issue that this bill isn't about. And this issue will be resolved because they're doing this, the issue that the bill is not about.
What issue?
Well, obviously, he's implying.
Is that what he was? Is he referring to Barack? Did he say Barack Obama?
He did not actually say Obama. But
how do you know he's talking about Barack Obama?
Okay, what issue does he mean then?
I don't know. But I guess you're saying it's about Barack. He didn't say that anywhere. You're just assuming it's about Barack Obama. Why do you hate Barack Obama? And America. And kittens. Why? All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia. Today's going to be a fun day. You're listening to Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It's available later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. We'll talk to Mr. Big Jim Willie. We'll also have a Taser Watch and Top 5. I mentioned earlier on in this hour that we were joined by a new subscriber, new listener, Travis, who signed up for an annual subscription, dropping his price from $6.99 to $6.66. Now we are also joined by, just moments ago, I believe, a new subscriber, Don. So Don in Beaverton, now joining the Rick Emerson extended family. Listener Don, a new subscriber to the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy, you can do that at rickemersonshow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
The Electric Daisy Carnival, with its towering Ferris wheel, celebrity disc jockeys, and pulsating lights, is the largest electronic music party in the United States. The wildly popular multi-day festival is relocating this year from Los Angeles to a desert site 14 miles from the Las Vegas Strip, a move that heartened officials in both cities. Las Vegas leaders are heralding an even bigger party, while those in L.A. are still sensitive to the drug problems and arrests that the Electric Daisy Carnival sustained a year ago. Las Vegas Mayor Oscar Goodman, chairman of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, said, "Every time we have a new venue come here that brings thousands of people, it's good for the city. The word gets out that Vegas is a good place to party." Critics, however, are warning that Las Vegas has turned a blind eye to the festival's possible darker side. A 15-year-old girl died of an ecstasy overdose following last year's event in L.A., and more than 226 people needed emergency medical treatment. There were 114 arrests for misconduct, drug possession, and other charges. L.A. officials declined to comment on the festival's move. The million-dollar extravaganza has tickets starting at $75. And top 40 headliners. It's a distant cousin of the earlier raves held in warehouses of the 80s.
When you were saying that it's embarrassing for a cop to be beaten up by a guy named Little Whirlwind, no. If you're beaten up by a guy named Electric Daisy, that's a thing you don't want to happen. You'll never hear the guys at the station ask. They'll never let you hear today. That'll be in your jacket forever.
Let's do a little entertainment news.
Fantastic. Here's your entertainment news for Friday, April 22nd.
Mel Gibson has finally broken the silence he's kept since the tapes in which the actor could be heard unleashing misogynistic and racist rants against his ex-girlfriend. He granted an interview to Deadline Hollywood in which he says that, of course, he feels regret for what he said on the tapes and insists that they were edited. When he was asked how a Hollywood veteran like himself could allow that to happen, Gibson sighed and answered, "Who anticipates being recorded? Who anticipates that? Who could anticipate such personal betrayal?" Although he understands why people might think he's racist and sexist, Gibson insists that, quote, You have to put it all in proper context of being an irrationally heated discussion at the height of a breakdown trying to get out of a really unhealthy relationship. When he was asked whether he's worried audiences will never forgive him, Gibson answered, "I don't care if I don't act anymore."
Well, who wants to work for Jews, Don?
Although he doesn't know if it's going to get off the ground, Gibson said he's already has his next project lined up with Braveheart screenwriter Randy Wallace. While he expressed gratitude to a few Hollywood figures who publicly defended him, Gibson insists he really doesn't care that more of his colleagues didn't speak up, saying, "Why would anyone want to speak publicly and drag themselves through this crap? It seems to add fuel to the fire." Former talk show host Lisa Gibbons, 54, has wed her fiancé Stephen Fenton, 41. The couple married Wednesday at the Montage Hotel in Beverly Hills, the location of their first date. Gibbons told People magazine, "We're living the fairy tale. We have so much respect for each other and grow stronger together. Always so grateful to have been given another chance at love."
Hey, whatever happened to Jenny Jones speaking at talk show hosts that are hot?
Oh, I don't know.
And now apparently off the market. I was a big fan of Lisa Gibbons, though. No Sally Jesse Raphael, but I like her nonetheless.
30-year-old star Jane Krakowski gave birth to her first child, a son named Bennett Robert Godley, on April 13th in New York City. Bennett is the first child for the 42-year-old actor and her fiancé, Robert Godley. She told People, "Bennett is an amazing, healthy, sweet boy, and we are both just crazy in love with him." It was announced on Thursday that Jim Carrey will appear in the season finale of The Office, joining a deep roster of guest stars that will grace the screen during the 50-minute-long special. Steve Carell is one episode away from leaving the show after 7 years. The show's producers have worked to create a massive mystery and induce international intrigue over who will replace him as the boss at the fictional regional paper company. Will Ferrell has temporarily taken over under the guise of D'Angelo Vickers, but the long-term replacement is still up in the air. Earlier in April, Ray Romano, James Spader, and Catherine Tate were added to the finale episode. Ricky Gervais will also guest star. All five have been teased as potential long-term hires, although Will Arnett, Ricky Gervais, and Ray Romano are unlikely to be the choices because of prior
commitments. Now, is Ricky Gervais, do we know if he's appearing as David Brent?
I think probably, yeah.
That would be fantastic, because that's they haven't done that, right? Gervais hasn't appeared on The American Office at all. Because I think everybody was sort of wondering early on if there was going to be some sort of a crossover episode where David Brent made the...
Trying to remember, because there was an episode of The Office or something where the two characters... I think it was the two characters met up with each other, but I can't really remember.
All right.
That was actually on The Office. Actress Amy Smart is engaged to 34-year-old Trading Spaces handyman Carter Oosterhaus. Smart's rep confirmed that the couple... he hosts an HGTV home improvement show called Carter Can, and they started dating in November.
I can never tell Amy Smart and Amy Adams apart. They always morph together in my head. So Amy Smart is who?
She was in The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher. She was in a movie called Varsity Blues, which I guess is a remake of the old Varsity Blues.
Is Amy Adams... Now, is Amy Adams in Gone Baby Gone?
No, Amy Adams is, I don't know.
Okay.
I always get Amy...
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be asking you questions today. I should just smile and... That's great, Dawn. Good job.
There are these actresses like Isla Fisher and Amy Adams, and there's like four or five of them that I get confused all of the time, that I just can't keep them apart.
Sort of like Journey and Night Ranger.
Yes, exactly like that.
Okay.
That's all the entertainment.
All right, there you go. Also sticks sometimes. There's your entertainment news for Friday, April 22nd, 2011. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Almost anyone who's ever wanted to enjoy a dinner out in peace can probably sympathize. Shannon Hall is accused of throwing a utensil at a man who was using vulgar language while talking on his cell phone at Denny's. A Manatee County Sheriff's deputy felt compelled to follow the letter of the law and arrest the customer on a battery charge. According to reports, around 3:30 a.m. Saturday, Shannon Hall was eating at a Denny's. She became offended when a man in another booth answered his cell phone and started talking loudly and used profanities. She reportedly argued the man and intentionally threw a fork at him. He was not injured. She left the restaurant with her husband But he brought her back to speak to the deputy, and then she was arrested.
By the way, so Amy Adams was in The Fighter. Amy Ryan was in Gone Baby Gone.
Amy Ryan.
So there you go. All right. Amy Smart was in Transporter.
Right. Which one was in Julie and Julia with Meryl Streep?
I don't know.
Okay. A federal judge in Oregon has ruled that the Vatican must respond to certain requests for information from a man who says he was molested by a priest in the 1960s. The man, known in court documents as John Doe, filed suit 8 years ago. He seeks to hold the Vatican liable for the abuse he says he suffered from the Reverend Andrew Ronan, who died in 1992. U.S. District Judge Michael Mosman ruled Thursday that Doe is entitled to limited discovery related to whether the priest was an employee of the Vatican. Vatican attorney Jennifer Lina said late Thursday the implications of the ruling are still unknown. The man's lawyer calls the order a historic step in investigating allegations of child abuse by the clergy.
If I ever have to go undercover, I'm going to call myself John Doe. No, I guess I've ruined the anonymity by announcing it here. Don't tell anyone.
No, that would... Ever since John Ensign, Senator John Ensign, admitted he had an affair with a staffer who was married to his best friend, who also worked for him, he has tried to continue the fight. Yet little by little, he seemed to recognize how the scandal cost him his political career, though he has been insisting he would not leave office early. On Thursday, he finally gave up, saying the ongoing ethics investigation had become too much for him to bear. While I stand behind my firm belief that I have not violated any law, rule, or standard of conduct of the Senate, and I have fought to prove this publicly, I will not continue to subject my family, my constituents, or the Senate to any further rounds of investigation, depositions, drawn-out proceedings, or especially public hearings, he wrote in the statement. The move amounts to good news for Republicans, since Governor Brian Sandoval will probably appoint Representative Dana Heller to complete Ensign's term, allowing Heller to then run as an incumbent against his Democratic opponent in 2012. With Ensign out of office, the Ethics Committee will have no jurisdiction in the matter and probably will keep private the results of the 20-month investigation into his having an affair with a staffer who was married to his best friend who also worked for him.
You just sound like this entire story is just sapping your will to live. Like the sort of red low battery thing was coming on the longer you were reading it.
There's just something about these guys that are senators and they have sex with inappropriate people. I mean...
By inappropriate, do you mean, you know, they could do better?
Well, yeah, and also, well, having sex with people that it can get them into trouble. That's what, I don't know. It seems like they ought to be able to, like, choose better. It's one that I have nothing but sympathy for them when they get caught with hookers. Because honestly, you know.
Who hasn't?
But when you're having sex, okay, your best friend works for you and you're sleeping with his wife, who also works for you.
Well,
you're just an idiot.
But if you're busy, you know, you don't get out of the office all that often. It's, you know, it's like how when you're near, you know, like if your business is near a McDonald's, you find yourself, you're going to be eating there a lot. Why? Because, I mean, who has time to go home and cook? I mean, you know, it's right over there.
I'm sure this woman would really like being compared to a McDonald's.
Well, I'm not talking about like your 39-cent cheeseburger. I'm talking about like your McDLT.
Oh, your Angus burger.
That's right.
There,
even the hot side hot.
The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board is close to rolling out a pilot program to allow sales of hard liquor at wine vending kiosks.
Hard liquor?
Inside grocery stores.
Let's give you my sexy noise from now on.
It was reported today that the agency plans to test the sales in 5 or 10 locations starting the next few weeks. Some of a few dozen machines now operating are selling only a couple of bottles per day. Officials haven't yet decided which hard liquor products will be available through the vending machines. The machines require buyers to swipe their identification and breathe into a sensor to make sure they're old enough and sober enough to purchase alcohol.
That's probably because of Barack Obama.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Because he wasn't born here. And in other countries, you're not allowed to, I don't know. Nothing makes sense today.
Okay. You got 30 seconds. Do you think you can both read a story, punditize on it, and then have some sort of mini breakdown about it in that time?
No.
What are you doing?
I have hair in my mouth.
I wish you could be seen right now. You look like one of those people who stands on the street corner talking about how the electric insects are on their skin and it burns. It burns. All right, let's all just take a breath here. All right, excellent. This has been another exciting installment of Really It Has. Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get it later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, Advanced Technology Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. And we thank you all for listening. And again, we want to welcome brand new subscribers, Don and Travis. We'll be listening to The Rick Emerson Show at rickemersonshow.com next hour. As always, we thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. We will see you again Monday at noon for another installment of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Bye now.